1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp. We got JT producing, filling in for Drew. He'll be back on Monday after golfing a lot in West Palm Beach, getting ready for Augusta.
Next year's Corn Ferry.
Yeah, next year's
Uh-huh. If there's a way to work it out, damn it. One of these years, we're going to get him in that thing.
Drew's in West Palm Beach to golf and for the really good Chinese buffet that's down in West Palm Beach, I hear.
Can I ask one more follow-up question? You were talking about this weekend.
JT, give me a weird look.
It's a completely different thing. Yeah, it's completely different than the other random question. But we were talking about, you were talking about like, oh, I'll be at the K this weekend. Then I was thinking more about it. One of the reasons I got to do stuff this weekend, I got to, you know, grad parties and stuff. I got a nephew's high school graduation party. Yeah. And last week we missed one of Ruby's dance friends' high school graduation thing from her dance studio. Well, what's the dollar amount we're putting in grad cards?
For high school?
High school. Anybody got any vibe on that? Is it different, varying depending on family versus friend versus anybody?
Yes. It's different for family. Oh,
totally.
But like what level of family? You know, cousin versus nephew versus, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think
I got a lot of nieces
different.
And nephews, man. I've been giving money to these for years.
I think family's definitely different.
I'm just curious, what's the dollar we're thinking?
Maybe I'm off on this. If it's like, if family-wise, I think you can get by with doing $50.
Okay.
Friend, it's how good of a friend, you know, you're getting how good of a friend kind
Why not
of thing,
on
you know?
Twitch says family 100 personally? Look, if it's...
For high school, now, is it your nephew?
It's my nephew. But I want to keep in mind, I want everyone to know this real quick. I have like 16 nieces and nephews.
Yeah, that's a little bit
So
different.
If I go 100 a pop, I'm going to go broke.
Yeah, like,
this isn't going to work.
Look, if they were graduating from college, I think the number goes up, obviously.
Yeah, okay. So family, like your own kid, it's obviously a different thing. Well, we're doing that. Yeah. Acquaintance, they say over there, like $25 for acquaintance. That feel like the right number?
I think so.
I wasn't getting real hung up on the two bill thing. 20 felt too cheap, 50 felt too high, but then giving them a five felt disrespectful in some way. I don't know.
I think it's $50 for family.
Gift
members.
Cards are great for graduations because especially when you go from high school to college.
Like a Visa gift card or like a gift card to
Amazon
like a place?
Amazon gift card. Hey,
Amazon.
Here you go.
Amazon, guess what? Target.
You can go, hey, you want something for your dorm room? Perfect. Go to Amazon and you can use the gift card.
Yeah, I think if it's like you said too, you know, if when the day comes and you have grandchildren, like obviously you're giving your grandchild more than $50. Everybody understands that. But yeah, a niece, a cousin, I think $50 is very nice for a high school graduation if it's your cousin or niece, especially if you have 20 of them.
Textline seems to think 25 for like acquaintance, 50-ish for family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that if you just did like Amazon, Target, Walmart, then I don't have to feel weird about the 20 and the 5.
Mm-hmm.
Here's $25 to Amazon, spend it on whatever you want. Here's $50 to Amazon.
I think you're safe on...
Go nuts.
I honestly think you're safe. If you're going to go gift card, you're safe on Visa gift card, Amazon, Target. Like, I think all those are fine if you're going to do
Almost none of them are bad
if you're going to do the gift card option.
They're going to get used, but someone says cash is way better.
Well, cash is king still. Cash is still king.
Do kids use cash?
Still,
does an 18-year-old carry cash?
It's not like you're giving them a savings bond. You know what I mean? They'll find a way to use
the
cash.
That would actually be kind of hilarious. There's still people handing out savings bonds?
That's the joke.
20 years from now?
Nobody's doing that.
Someone says, just Venmo them.
I mean, that also... It's very informal, but truly, they would probably be just happy with the quick Cash App or Venmo.
Some of you guys got money from the 816. Crazy thing, I don't use Venmo. Friends, 50, family, 100.
Yeah, I mean, again, if it's like your son-in-law, it's you know, and you're talking about college or something, and they're getting their master's, I think the dollar amount's different.
I gotta say, your net worth makes a factor here.
Wait, so you give less if the person has money for a gift?
No. I'm saying if my net worth.
Okay, I was like, damn.
No, that's their
I thought
money.
You were saying, oh, they don't need the money, so they're getting less.
That's a rich kid.
I thought that's what
they
you were saying.
They barely even need this.
Hey, Alex was like, feeling good. He was like, man, I was like, damn.
No. My personal net worth, right? I live in a 6-bedroom, 5,000-square-foot house. I could probably pony up the $50, $100. Despite the number of decks I have at my house, I do not have, you know.
Someone says to give Bitcoin. Cody's out here giving cryptocurrency. I don't think so.
Congratulations. Here's 0.0005 1% of a Bitcoin. I hope it turns into more than the $25.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
That's today's version of a savings bond, Bitcoin.
Okay. I needed to get that. I figured the text line would help me. I figured you guys would have a vague idea. You haven't gotten into that as much yet. You don't have the graduation party stuff quite as much yet.
No.
I don't have a ton of it yet because my kids' ages are still pretty young.
Hey,
I got a lot of nieces and nephews.
Hey, Gold, what was your landmark for the bye you wanted it at?
The what?
The Chiefs bye?
Oh, week 9 or later.
Okay. Well, Nate Taylor said here's an interesting stretch for the Chiefs' 2025 schedule. Week 8, bye. Week 9 at Buffalo. Week 10, Monday Night Football versus Washington.
Oh, so he leaked out a little bit. Okay, that's from our guy, Nate Taylor. It's okay.
Hmm. It's okay.
It's the bare minimum. You don't want it. That's the bare minimum. Like, that's the bare minimum of a bye.
They get
you
extra
want.
Time for Washington to get a day.
At Buffalo on CBS, there's no way that's not a 325 kickoff, right, with Jim Nance and Romo.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be Jim
Nance.
Monday Night Football, Washington makes ultimate sense. At home at Arrowhead. That's how many primetime home games is that? Okay, so that we know of right now. Chiefs-Eagles is not primetime at home. That's 325. Washington-Kansas City at Arrowhead is primetime. Chief Broncos primetime Christmas Day. So is that still only two primetime home games?
Yeah. Two in the late CBS slot right now, or Fox and CBS.
Yeah.
The Buffalo game in the 325 slot, CBS really wanted that. And then Fox obviously gets the Eagles one in the 325 slot. Everything else is pretty much standalone or primetime that we've seen so far.
Well, there, okay.
Because we've seen two Monday nights, a Friday night, a Sunday night, you know, like all the rumors right now.
Let's put it all together then real quick. Then we'll talk about Derrick Henry. So if we couple Nate Taylor's report, and we obviously trust our guy, Nate Taylor, he knows his, you know what. So here we go. Week one, Chiefs Chargers Friday night in Brazil on YouTube. Week two, Chiefs Eagles 325 on Fox. Week three, Chiefs at Giants Sunday Night Football. Week six, Chiefs hosting the Lions on Sunday Night Football. I forgot about that one. So that's the third home primetime. Week eight, bye. Week nine at Buffalo CBS. Week 10, Monday Night Football at home against Washington. Week 13, Chiefs at Dallas on Thanksgiving, CBS 3:30 kick. Week 17, Chiefs Broncos Christmas night on Prime. Those are the reputable reports / confirmed. I understand there's rumors week five they're at Jacksonville on Monday Night Football as well. Because the thing is, the Thanksgiving and Christmas do not count as your Thursday games. That's why they're able to have all these other... I mean, the Chiefs are going to be on
right now,
four Thursdays, seemingly. You know,
standalone games enough, we're already at five, aren't we? Two Monday nights, a Sunday night, the Friday, and the two Thursdays. No, six. As it sits right now, we're already at six games. We're the only game on television.
And there's still only no one divisional.
The Kansas City Chiefs. It's crazy.
We still only know one divisional game.
Yeah, game
or
one.
Or two. Sorry, two divisional games. Christmas night and the Chargers Friday night. Two division. We don't know when they're playing the Raiders at all yet.
Also,
they'll throw them in randomly.
Carrington said on Twitter the Brazil game doesn't count as a primetime game. Right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I said Thursday, but yes, primetime games.
Specifically that one because it's
the week eight by, honestly, though.
Bare minimum, like you said.
Needed week nine or later, man. Week eight buys. That's now the difference this year.
I would have preferred later, but that's better than last year.
The difference this year, in fairness, and why it's not as problematic. Last year, the whole argument from Chris Jones and why people were upset was because they were playing that stretch of 3-12 or 3-11. This year, because Christmas falls on a Thursday, it's not as problematic. The NFL is used to having Thursday turnarounds. When it was on Wednesday, it caused them to have to play on the Saturday before. That is not the case this year. Therefore, the short turnaround stuff, the Chiefs don't have that as much this year as a year ago. Week eight, I mean, it's almost smack dab in the middle. I wanted week nine. I wanted at least week nine. I truly wanted week 11 bye, if you were asking me like a specific number. I wanted a week 11 bye this year for the Chiefs, but...
So week eight would be that October 26th, that Sunday?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I guess you get not Halloween weekend free. The lead up to Halloween weekend free. Halloween's on a Friday this year? That's a messy situation.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just think people let loose a little bit more, you know?
Yeah.
That's all. I take my kids trick-or-treating.
Most people do the parties the weekend before anyway. Now, maybe this year will be different, but typically you do a lot of the Halloween, not for your kids. I'm talking about for adults.
Vegas last time. Yeah. Like the Halloween party I was invited to last year was when we were coming back from Las Vegas.
That's right.
So, I mean, at this point, Vegas is either week like 6-7 or like 13-14, right?
Or the last week of the season.
From the 913, you should have saved those Amazon palette and just handed out that stuff for graduation gifts.
Well, that was the show's palette. All right. We saw that was the show's palette.
That was the show. I can't be just giving it away. That belonged to everybody who was on this show, you know, and a part of it.
We got a little more insight there.
We're getting a pretty good idea on the schedule.
Usually
right
by 4 o'clock, we have almost the whole schedule. Usually.
I mean, if I laid it out right now, couldn't we get pretty close? We're at least at 50%.
We know eight of the games. and the bye.
It's starting to get dicey for that Raiders visit in week 18, though, for you guys.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. Did you guys also see, we were going to talk about Derrick Henry. He's got to be feeling pretty good today. He is over 30, and yet he just got a very nice extension from the Baltimore Ravens. Derrick Henry, according to Adam Schefter, and the Ravens have agreed to an extension worth $30 million over 2 years, includes $25 million fully guaranteed over the next 2 years. The largest deal in NFL history for a running back over the age of 30. And he, of course, is the outlier of all outliers. Typically, be like, what the hell are you doing? He's an outlier. He's a freak. He falls into that category. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Adrian Peterson, those guys are just different. Barkley's not over 30
yet. He's still 26, isn't he?
But the point is, like, those guys are just different. Derrick Henry started all 17 games last year with Baltimore. We know how vital he was for their entire attack. It's why Lamar also was once again having an unbelievable season as part of their scheme. They still don't really have a great wide receiver room, so... Good for Derrick Henry, man. He gets another payday, another really nice payday.
Is this because Saquon got paid? This hurts the Bills, by the way.
With James Cook,
Cook is going to want some money, and he's young, so there's a reason to give him even more money. Bad year to have to pay a running back. Lots of years where it came a little bit cheaper. Saquon jumped that number up. Everyone decided running backs mattered more, I guess. I don't know. And decided they were worthy of paying more. Again, comparatively to the other positions, they're paid virtually nothing. But the truth is, Derrick Henry was a perfect fit for the Ravens offense. It worked well. Everyone's problem is still the same. You can make a lot of really good decisions, Gold. And a lot of these teams have. You can make a lot of really, really good decisions. But the problem is that Derrick Henry doesn't help you get past the Chiefs. And I don't know who that one player is. It's probably a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman based on the history of who actually beats the Chiefs in the playoffs and when they are beaten. That is probably the answer. But if it's working against everyone else, you can't really just ditch the plan and not pay Derrick Henry. It makes sense to me. I don't have any problem with this. It's also low risk. It's a 2-year deal.
James Palmer's tweet, I'm assuming he's kind of taking a jab at Cincinnati with Trey Hendrickson. He goes, so an organization's rewarding a player on the, quote, wrong side of 30 who continues to perform at a very high level. Not all organizations think the same.
That is an absolute shot.
I think so, right? Has to be.
Dude, he showed up at minicamp just to trash the coach and the owner.
Trey Hendrickson just turned 30, by the way, last season. It's absolutely got to be Trey Hendrickson. Because we know Trey Hendrickson said he will not play for the Bengals in 2025 under his current contract. And he's also a player that just watched Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins get paid in a big way. And yet he's sitting out here for the last 2 years trying to get paid as well. And, they chose offense. This was the whole thing. I know we were giving Drew a hard time, but there's also like real, real conversation behind it. You have gone all in on offense and you're letting your defense suffer. And now your best defensive player is extremely upset. You're upside down with him right now. Maybe it results in a huge payday. Otherwise, it's going to be a huge distraction for you all the way through the start of the season.
The only thing I'll say is until the deal's not done, the damage is not done.
Okay.
Just watched Myles Garrett essentially be like, I'm not going anywhere near that stinky franchise full of nonsense.
Cincinnati is a legit contender sort of, right? Like Cleveland is Cleveland.
Sure.
You know, like Cincinnati, you were in the Super Bowl 4 years ago or
but
whatever.
But I've seen
it is,
people find a way to repair it before. And typically repair it means paying me the amount of money that I'm asking for. Like a lot of times that can still solve most of the problems. But I mean, and that if you missed the Trey Henderson thing, if for some reason you're listening, you're like, what happened there? And it's like, well, he said that he sent out a statement to ESPN about how they were ignoring him. Then he showed up to offseason training. And he sat in there and he said that he didn't like a text exchange with their coach. Mm-hmm. And then admitted the team was just essentially ghosting him and that they see very differently in the amount of money that the two of them want to be paid. And so Cincinnati, their whole thing is they for once weren't cheap on two players. They weren't cheap on Joe Burrow because they couldn't be. People just can't be cheap on quarterbacks. Then they decided for the first time ever to pay a couple of players. They paid Ja'Marr Chase his net worth and his actual worth, and they paid T. Higgins his actual worth. And then they just were like, but we got to go cheap everywhere else. I mean, they might have PB&Js for family meals moving forward. Like, they're trying to save every other penny now because they accidentally paid a couple of people once. It's a really fascinating turn. Rewarding players internally, I think, is one of the easiest ways to curry favor with players to be loyal. Like, when the Chiefs pay Chris Jones, when they pay Travis Kelce a raise, even though he is not technically not under contract, those things go a long way to keep players in-house, in my opinion. Makes it easier to keep players in-house in the long term, Gold. You pay Chris Jones, makes it more likely you're going to pay Trent McDuffie, or at least he has to feel that way, right? that we're not screwing you around, man. We pay our guys. We haven't paid you yet, but we will.
The guys in the locker room pay attention to who's getting, you know, the deals, right? And how the team is treating star players and giving them contracts or not. People pay attention to that. I will say this, back to the schedule stuff for a second, Cody. Nate Taylor obviously had the tweet about the Monday Night Football Week 10 game, Chiefs, Commanders. I trust him more than a few of these other Twitter accounts out there. There's other Twitter accounts that claim the Eagles are playing Monday Night Football Week 10, unless it's a doubleheader week. Somebody obviously is off base. I don't know what's going on there.
Okay.
I'll trust Nate on this one.
I mean, he said, okay, fine. Here's an interesting stretch of the schedule.
That tells me, by the way, it tells me Nate has the whole freaking schedule.
Can you just text it to us?
Can you text us just the Raiders Vegas Chiefs game, please? The date of that. That would be nice.
Look, I'm sure if you run iHeartJags.com, you're in the right. You're in the right space. I gotta trust my guy Nate Taylor at the Athletic.
No site.
Over you. You know? Like, I don't know which site, you know, like there are certain people that are more reputable.
iHeartChiefs.com. Does that exist? You can use our new website. Careful. Someone owns the domain, but it's empty. It's parked.
Oh, they're just
waiting
for me to
iHeartChiefs.com.
Trying to get us to pony up the dough, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. I'll worry about that later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to.
Mm-hmm.
I just, to your point, we'll see when the rest of the schedule comes out for sure, but that's not the case.
Joe Buck, though, predicted who's winning the Super Bowl when they were talking about the schedule.
Who do you say?
He predicted not the Chiefs, I'll tell you that.
And bless, we got 10 seconds left. Who's going to win the Super Bowl this year?
I'm going to say Buffalo finally wins it.
Oh!
Cowboys.
Oh! Come on. How about
that boy? Yeah! Come on, Stray.
He's going back over there right now.
You know better than that. Come on, Troy.
Aikman saying the Cowboys. Get real, dude. Get real. You got first-year head coach in Brian Schottenheimer. Stop.
That's just the thing he's supposed to say, I guess.
Is he? Buck
he's
going with the Bills.
Great
Buck going with the Bills.
The Cowboys,
plenty of people have been picking the Bills for a while. Going with the Bills for quite some time to be the team to knock the Chiefs off. In the regular season, the Bills will probably win the week, whatever we said it is, week 11
game. Over the last 4 years, I imagine they've been one of the final six teams, eight teams, all 5 years, one of the final four teams, at least half. You could make worse guesses, but at this point, why not just choose any NFC team or the Chiefs? Like, if you're making Super Bowl predictions, just choose the Chiefs or choose an NFC team. You're kind of wasting your time otherwise. Like, there's not, like, you can choose Baltimore, Cincinnati, or Buffalo. You can make some case and be like, no, Stroud's bouncing back this year. Here comes, I don't know, whatever other AFC team people want to talk. It's really just been the same three teams.
Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo.
What's crazy,
Cincinnati maybe jumps in the convo.
I told you, I think they're done. They made a bad financial
decision. Their defense
is
a mess still.
Their defense is in shambles. There's two teams I'm down on this year. One is Cincinnati, whose defense is in shambles and will only get worse if they do not figure out a way to get Trey Hendrickson in the building. And the other one's Minnesota. I've already decided they did not like their quarterback. They wanted a different quarterback the entire time, and their schedule's weird.
I mean, I don't think it's like,
I don't know how the schedule affects them, but it's weird.
I don't think it's crazy to be down in Minnesota. I mean, they're starting quarterback that has never started a game in the NFL. I mean, I don't think that's even being a hater. I mean,
they were just trying to replace them all offseason. They play the same team on Christmas and Thanksgiving. They go to back-to-back international games. Their schedule's all like wonky and weird, and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm just.
By the way, Nate Taylor is going to join us tomorrow in the 1 o'clock hour, I believe.
Does he want to join us now and just tell us what the schedule is?
Join us tomorrow.
Week one, week two, week three. Yeah. I mean, we know a huge chunk of it.
They gave Nate Taylor the script. They gave him the script for the season.
What do you think it is? Like an internal memo at the Athletic for the person who has
entire
leaked NFL schedule and just not allowed to say it?
How these leaks are all happening today. And how
I've seen three teams full schedule.
People have to make graphics for these teams and videos, and somebody opens their mouth. That's how it happens. Come on now.
Guess it's not hard to figure out. I just saw somebody
at one of the networks. They're not supposed to, but they tell somebody it leaks out.
Not a team on the Chiefs schedule.
Okay.
And not the same week as the Commanders. Somebody's saying the entire Dolphins schedule is leaked out. They got the Commanders in week 11. That'd be the week after the Chiefs faced them.
Okay.
This is where the week 10 thing might be, something might be wrong. Because he's got the Commanders in week 11. The Chiefs got him on Monday night. But the Commanders week 11 would be in Madrid, according to this.
So Monday night, then you're going. Yeah, see, something's wrong with the
Monday
night.
Something's off.
I mean, that Commanders game may not be Monday night. We'll see.
Maybe it's Sunday night. Yeah. Maybe it's not Monday night.
Yeah, because I was looking.
You wouldn't send them to Spain.
I went scattering around, and I've seen a lot of Packers Eagles fans being
saying,
"Hey, yeah, they're playing on Monday night." So unless
maybe
they're doing
just
a double,
him instead of S, man, who the hell?
I wonder if that's not Monday night because Green Bay and Philly, I think, is showing as the Monday night game week 10. Either way, the Chiefs are probably playing the Commanders that week. It's just maybe the network is off a little bit.
I also saw a leaked schedule for Denver, and the only thing that made me shake my head about it was they have a bye in week 13. I think it was week 13, and they play in London in week 7. And I was like, they decided not to have the bye London?
Yeah, something might be wrong on that Monday night.
Maybe some bad leaks are happening. Maybe they finally figured out.
I doubt there's a doubleheader Monday night game week 10, but you never know.
No, but also, to his point, everybody does the bye after the London game.
Yes.
Why on earth would they go to London and not get them? That's been a standard.
Someone said Nate Taylor must be on a Signal app chat. He got invited accidentally. There you go.
I don't know. We'll keep an eye out on it. If we get any more schedule update stuff from the Chiefs, we'll certainly let you know. Some of those things appear to be kind of universal, weeks 1 through 3. Mm-hmm. We already know the Christmas and Thanksgiving. There's a lot of other leaks starting to come out. But again, the schedule release tonight, 6 o'clock, right?
Yes. Just let me know when the graphics are out.
And you'll be able to listen to every single game right here on 96.5 10. I'm sure we'll talk. What's that?
Oh, I was going to say, is those leaks, which one are you most anticipated to see that's going to have the best video for it?
Well, I mean, the best one of all time is clearly the one on Broadway.
Each team puts out their little video to try to go viral. The Chargers have a great track record with theirs. Their football team's not great, but their social media team's pretty darn good.
They crush it every year.
So I'll say Chargers will be impressive. Philly will have something good because they're coming off a championship, so they'll be a little more emboldened.
To take shots. I like the ones that take shots, and the Chiefs will do that.
Man, I'm trying to think who could have some funny ones, though, and just lean into something.
A lot of times it's popular TV shows. You know, the Eagles could do Abbott Elementary or what. You know, there's lots of choices, obviously. I just don't know.
I still think Seattle, the Seahawks, should lean into Severance. Their football stadium is called Lumen Field. Just go.
Maybe they will.
Go into, lean in with the Lumen connection and go all
Get
in.
Get Ben Stiller to direct your little schedule release.
Have them type, for those that have seen the show, have them sitting at a computer and type on the computer and going through different doors. And it's each
and then the numbers come up and it says week 3.
Yeah, and then you have.
Easiest thing ever. Yeah, wow, that's a layup.
You have somebody walk through one of the rooms and that's that week. Oh, come on. It's too easy. It's right there.
Dancing to the weird stuff.
It's right there, Seattle.
Yeah, honestly, I'm going to be now kind of disappointed if that's not the route they go. They might have thought the same way you did, but I don't know.
All right, up next, we will get to what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We'll talk a little bit more about what the Royals need to do the rest of the week, and we'll let you know if we get another rumor on the schedule front next.
It's trending.
What's trending here on Cody and Gold, brought to you by our friends over at Baker University. Graduates earn higher salaries there and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Continuing to talk about the schedule. So here is what has been confirmed or reported. Chiefs, Chargers, Friday night in Brazil. New today, Chiefs, Eagles, week 2, 3:25 on Fox. That's at Arrowhead. Week 3, Chiefs at the Giants, Sunday Night Football. Week 6, Chiefs-Lions, Sunday Night Football, according to Jordan Schultz. Nate Taylor is reporting Week 8 is a bye week for the Chiefs. Week 9 at Buffalo. Week 10 against Washington. He says Monday Night Football, there might be some confusion on the actual network, whether or not that's Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football. Elsewhere, Week 13, we got confirmation today. It's now official. Chiefs at Dallas on Thanksgiving. That's CBS.
Add that to Christmas. Why not?
3:30, and we already knew earlier in the week, Week 17, Chiefs-Broncos Christmas night right here in Kansas City on Prime. So we know about 8 of the games, right? About 8 games so far.
I think so. There could be one off here or there, but we're getting pretty close. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals lost 2-1 in 9 innings yesterday. Unfortunately for the Royals, that was in a walk-off home run by the Houston Astros on the road. It'll be Michael Lorenzen on the bump today, going up against a guy making his, as far as I could tell, Major League debut.
He's going to have that MLB debut patch for the future Topps trading card. That's what he's got
on. Colton Gordon is his name. That's a baseball name, man. Colton Gordon.
Very much so.
He's a left-handed 6'4", 225-pound lefty. He's going to be on the bump tonight against the Royals. 26 years old. Started 8 games in AAA this year with a pretty good, it appears, 2.55 ERA. He's been around a 4 earned run average guy. He's been a slow mover through the system. He was a college pitcher in 2021. Looks like, he will make his major league debut.
He's either getting rocked or he'll have 7 shutout innings of one-run base or no
something
run.
About being a Royals fan my entire life. Sorry. The second one's probably more likely, the latter.
Elsewhere in what's trending, the Baltimore Ravens have given Derrick Henry a nice little extension. 2 years, $30 million, according to Adam Schefter, 25 of which are guaranteed over the next 2 years, according to his agent, Todd France. It is the NFL's most lucrative contract for a running back over the age of 30. He just turned 31 in January, averaging $15 million per year from 2026-2027. It basically makes Derrick Henry the third highest paid running back from new money perspective, behind only Barkley and Christian McCaffrey.
He's the kind of running back you actually pay into your 30s. Very few guys I'd actually even risk it with, honestly. Mm-hmm. Next up on what's trending NBA action last night, Pacers close out their series with a 114-105 win over the Cavs, who had one of the best records in all of the NBA this year, get swept out before they even get to the conference finals to go with that on there. The Hunt Thunder take their lead, 112-105. That SGA, the Shane Gilgeous Alexander's shot there. Did you see that like low angle shot with the crowd erupting? That was really cool. They took a 3-2 lead over the Nuggets.
It was a great basketball game last night.
Yeah, that series has been incredible. Tonight, Knicks, Celtics, chance for the Knicks to win their series up 3-1. Now no Jason Tatum after he had surgery yesterday. And Warriors, Timberwolves, the Wolves can close out their series with a 3-1 lead. No Steph Curry tonight. Approved for light workout, according to a report earlier today. Chance he could play in game 6 if they're able to even win the game tonight.
All right, that is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Seeing if there was anything new during the break on the schedule. People keep speculating on different things.
I keep checking the schedule stuff, and then I just keep seeing if like the Royals are gonna call up Jack Caglione. But I only really check that on Mondays.
That's not happening today.
I only check that on Mondays. Really,
they're also playing a game right now.
There. You don't think just call them up? Hugwatch.
Not in double A. There's no Hugwatch in double A. Unless that only happens around trade time. Otherwise, nobody's doing that in a random Wednesday in May.
Jack Caglione, 1-for-4 today. The Naturals trailing 4-2.
Yeah, and he's down another week because of that. You know?
I did see, it's early stuff. Lots of people I like have started it's May 14th. We're still two and a half months away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline. So we're way down the road from having to worry about it. But the early rumors have already kicked up. The name I mentioned earlier,
Ryan
still
O'Hearn?
Does kind of make me...
No. They don't need to trade for him.
Hold on. Is there any part of you that, he's one of the best available trade targets? Take the who he played for out of it for just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be one of the better names available. Is it just because you watch them fail, or you just don't want to watch the same? Because
it's a combination.
Randy Arozarena, Brent Rooker.
I would choose those two.
Ryan
O'Hearn. I would choose those two before Ryan O'Hearn.
Starling Marte.
Of course,
a lot of the same names. You know,
I know that organizations don't operate this way. I'm just telling you my personal opinion. Once I trade away a player, I personally,
you're done,
would not bring them back if they play the big leagues. I'm not talking about somebody that
where does DFA him?
I'm not. I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember what that. Maybe it was a DFA. I can't remember. I have to go back and look. Point being, I'm not talking about if somebody was in the minors and then eventually they come back. I'm talking about if they played plenty of major league games for you, you DFA'd them or traded them away, I just would be done with it. You brought up Brent Rooker. He played 14 games in the big leagues.
So he might be an exception. Okay, that's a little bit different.
They
DFA'd him too.
Yeah, that's a little bit, whoops. That's a, whoops.
He had 39 home runs the next year.
Whoops. I just would be out. And also, if I'm Ryan O'Hearn, and I know he doesn't have a no trade clause, but he's not that kind of player to have one, but I wouldn't want to come back to Kansas City if I were him. You know, you had success elsewhere. The fan base beat you up pretty good. I think you got a fresh start somewhere else. You either bought in more,
well,
you either got better coaching. Something happened for you. Good for you, Ryan O'Hearn. I do not want him back. If you tell me they're going to DFA Hunter Renfro and then they're going to also trade for Ryan O'Hearn and he's the right fielder. No, I'm good.
I will say they have, and this goes to modern baseball. Somebody earlier had asked the question with Q, which it's fair. I'm not bothered by people bringing up the question, which relates to Ryan O'Hearn, which is like Q overthinking the lineup. Like tonight it's going to be a lefty starting. When lefties are the starting pitcher, they've moved Vinny down the order. and they've shuffled the order a lot, and they bring in a lot of different guys. And
that's
canon.
That's who they are, though, now with this regime.
And so, like, Ryan O'Hearn plays the same thing, where they're playing a lot of guys out of position. Mikel's playing short the other night. India's in left or at third, or Massey's moved around, or Waters. And, like, they got people playing all over the place. So, like, part of you is like, well, they bring in Ryan O'Hearn, and they're technically just taking another first baseman in DH and sticking him out in the outfield again. Is that yet another? And all I have to tell you is that's fundamentally, as you pointed out, who the Royals are as an organization now. Overthinking. Q is not overthinking anything. I want to be clear. This is you filled out a Scantron full of information, and that information spit out the most likely scenario based on the information
Scantron.
You gave it.
Wow, we're going and then way you, back. They still do those?
I don't think so.
Scantrons at school these days?
They do, actually.
My kid did her entire map test on her iPad.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm surprised. Scantron, I'm surprised that's still a thing. Anyway, go ahead.
So, like, the way it's a mathematical equation. More, and I'm not saying there's never any feeling put into it. But the way the Royals operate is on a mathematical level. Last year, it led to a playoff team. This year, it's a team that's pacing for 92 wins. They can pitch. They're getting outs. The relief stuff's working. So, like, it's hard for me to be like, hey, guys, I don't know about this math thing. Because I don't know that there's any shuffling of the order right now that's going to produce more runs for this team. They just don't have enough hitters.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, it's going to need to be Jack Caglione, honestly, and another bat.
I agree.
If they want to, like, get to a point of the offense that is consistent.
We'll be interested to see as we get much closer to the deadline if Ryan O'Hearn's name comes up. I'm just not very interested. You see our producer, Drew, who's in Florida, he just tweeted out simply a palm tree emoji. Doesn't he have the real ones in front of him? Don't you have a real one in front of you to take a photo of?
I mean, what? I mean, I guess if
there's one in front of you, take the real one.
I don't have a problem with the emoji, but
that's all it is. It's just the palm tree.
But he should say where he is. Like, if he's, because like you post, like, I don't do this very often, but you, or
the little pen thing.
Yeah, you do that, right?
Usually with the photo of where's the palm tree?
I would say similar, it's similar energy, but he's providing way less information. This is like cryptic tweet season. Like, if Chris Jones sent this out in the middle of his contract, Trey Smith sent this out right now, I'd be like, what the hell does it mean? It
means he's going to Florida. Miami.
He's a Dolphin?
He's gone.
This is cryptic tweet season. We know that he's in Florida.
You were about to say something, JT?
Yeah, I was going to say, to make things maybe even better for you, Gold, Royals traded Ryan O'Hearn for cash.
At the time, it was for cash consideration.
Yeah, DFA'd him and then traded for cash consideration.
I just would be done with
cash.
It does not say that much, but it does say he was with the Royals for 5 years before being traded.
Yeah. I just think
believers of Ryan O'Hearn. He played a lot of games here in Kansas City.
Yeah. It was a minor cash trade. That's what it says, minor cash trade. So maybe they're using the money on Hunter Renfroe this year.
I mean, yeah.
I wish it was minor amount of money they're paying him this year.
How much does Hunter Renfroe
I think he still owes over $5.5 million or $5 million.
Let's see.
He was making seven something.
Look, I still hope Hunter Renfroe goes 5 for 5.
Oh, sure. Of course.
And
yeah, I hope he gets hot for 2 weeks.
Gets hot and stays on the team. It's fine by me.
He's actually making an average of 6.5 million.
His entire salary this year was $7.57 million.
So I assume they stole him over $5 million.
So we're 44 games into the season.
Maybe it's less.
I mean, this is some quick math. 44 games into the season, they've played 27%. So he stole 63% of his entire salary. So let's see, what's that equal? I can't do the quick math on that. He is owed $5.025 million.
Okay, so $5 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of math just to get around to the number that you were pretty close to.
$5 million.
That's nothing.
$5 million. Okay.
$5 million bucks. And it goes down every day. Tomorrow it'll be five flat. The day after that, it'll be 4.98.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know.
I mean, there's a legitimate question. Like, at some point, like, what you're getting, you're just not getting anything out of him, period. And what are you doing?
I'm always kind of like,
I still think it's a Memorial Day thing that Hunter Dozier, that's when they moved on from him a couple years ago too.
When you wave to people on the other side of the glass, are they waving at you first?
Yes.
How's it work?
Usually. Not always, usually.
Alex, for those who don't know, if you're looking in the studio, I face out the windows and I look out at Shawnee Mission Parkway and some trees.
Mm-hmm.
Gold faces the back side of the studio, which is like a window out to the main area.
We're like
of
fish
the
in a fishbowl. Yeah.
So like a couple times a day, Alex hits a
people
a small
just knock
wave
on the window sometimes.
Yeah. Alex hits a small wave and they move on. And what I'm always curious is, Is Alex hitting the courtesy wave first?
Sometimes it depends.
Or is it when?
A lot of times
does it depend on the person.
A lot of time it depends. Yeah.
Higher
up. In this case, one of our sales reps and our sales manager are walking by, and they kind of went like that, and so I wave back. Of course, if someone waves back, I'm gonna wave. If someone waves, I'll wave back. But it depends. Yeah. Sometimes if I see they're clearly staring,
That's your courtesy. Like I acknowledge
you. Yeah, I got you.
It's harder when it's people you don't know at all. You're like, I'm not sure why you're just standing there. But I don't ever
have
to deal
with that.
Well,
that'd be weird if it was someone I didn't recognize in the building staring at the window. I'd be a little concerned. But that usually doesn't happen. They're gone now. They were up here because they were playing a game.
Is there a reason why there's a refillable bottle of soap back here, too, now that we're at this?
I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell you. There's also a disinfectant spray right next to you.
But this is soap.
Yes.
There's no water to wash your hands with in here.
You got to think it's Bob's doing.
Yeah, but there's also... The whole
that's like a spray disinfectant. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's very industrial, but like,
why is that in? I don't know. Maybe he just pours it on his hand.
Is the soap always empty?
Does he pour it on his hand?
Pour it on his hand, and then what? Rinse his hands in the sink in here?
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know why it's in here, man.
Well, I do say the bathroom soap does suck.
But for a common what's completely lost, and you're not wrong. But what's lost in here is
I think the soap is great. Actually, you know,
this is a communal space.
I think it's great. I think everything's great.
This is a communal space. So what the hell are we leaving industrial-sized bottles of non-shareable soap in here for? I don't like. What's the point? Can't this go in your area, your office, your space?
Do they have their own office?
Who?
Bob and Dusty?
I assume so. They don't?
No.
See, then he's just using his own little space right behind
you. I'm honest, man. There's like 80 open offices. They can have one if they want one. So like,
thinking of this, more importantly, stop with the soap convo for a second. Stop with the soap convo. Okay. Did you confront you? Acted like tough guy yesterday, said you were going to confront whoever stole your cheese and crackers. You did not.
I forgot.
Did you? You didn't do it, did you?
I told you who I think stole it. Here's the problem. I went looking for evidence late yesterday. I couldn't come up with evidence. So now I'm just accusing
you've dialed back your
without
tone.
Without any proof.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried. Well, so here's what also happened. I found out that the person I would like to accuse of this was falsely accused of something else this week in the building of a theft of a different nature.
Yes.
And so now it's like, I'm not saying that thefts have never happened. Proven thefts have never happened. But I feel like I think I'm back into the bait game. That's the truth.
Or just realize it was cheese and crackers and move on.
No, we live in a society. We should have respect for each other's things. JT, would you like it if someone stole your lunch?
No, absolutely. Look at me. I'm a bigger man. I got to have my
someone
lunch.
Someone says you went from tough guy to now you're worried. Now you're worried about upsetting somebody.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? I'll actually play it really cool. I won't get like really accusatory. I'll be like, did you
have some crackers recently? You have some cheese? Yeah, I did actually.
Have you ever had one of those packs? I was just thinking, like, I saw the store the other day. And I was thinking about getting these little packets of crackers and cheese. You guys ever had any of those? They kind of look good. I just didn't know if anybody's had them before. He's like, yeah, I had one last week.
Did you bring any more in, by the way?
Chuck Hughes!
Did you put some in the fridge?
No, I've not put any more in. I got to get more at the store. That was the last one. I didn't have another one to bring. There was lunch today.
There was lunch out there today.
Yeah, it was a walking taco.
Yeah, I prefer more stationary tacos, personally.
Why?
They're better.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but preference versus the edible nature of it is crazy. A walking taco is also very good.
I know
I'm not
is.
Saying it's as good as a regular taco.
I prefer the stationary.
Yeah. So you will not eat a walking taco.
No, I'm
is that what I'm here to eat?
That's correct.
Why?
I'd rather just have tacos.
Soft or hard?
I like a crunchy taco shell, especially if it's like been deep fried. But I've got nothing against the soft shell taco. Tacos.
Have you ever had a walking taco? This is always my follow-up.
Years ago, when I was like 12 or 13 years old.
I mean, this is crazy. You can't be bagging a walking taco. I haven't gone 20 years without having one.
This is where you and I, we differ. If I had a food item and I didn't like it once, why would I go back to something I don't like?
Man, I didn't like broccoli when I was 5. Okay, you're 12. That's 20 years.
No, but this is a specific food item. You're talking about like the kid that doesn't want to eat vegetables. That's a completely different context of like an actual.
I think it's the same. It's like any food. Any food that you didn't like at 12 does not mean you would not like now.
Someone says, good thing gold can't smell. What's your breath like with that walking taco?
It's just a regular chip. Nothing crazy.
I mean, there was no onions or anything.
There's no onions.
I went out there and
ate tomatoes. No, I did not go Frito. This is, again, this is like the airplane. There's a smellier chip I'm going to try.
Yeah, you didn't go Frito.
No, it was like a, it was just like a.
You probably went spicy nacho.
I think it was the, no, it was like the sweet and spicy one.
Oh, the sweet chili, the purple bag?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great one, actually.
Someone says there's been major innovations in walking tacos over the last few years. Okay, all right.
I mean, I can't think of that. I don't know about the innovation game of the walking taco.
Cody, do you crush your chips up before you put the, yep, same.
Yeah,
okay.
I've seen that. Yeah. I think that's
You got to crush them up a little bit. If you're doing a walking taco, you got to crush them up a little bit. Otherwise, it doesn't quite.
I do think that's the move.
The flow's not as good.
Are you giving us advice for a walking taco when you don't eat one?
No, but it makes sense. You can think about that logically. I don't think
I've seen people eat them before.
I've seen that. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's all he was pointing out.
Anyway. Before, someone says your taste buds reset every 7 years. Right, maybe you like it. Anyway,
we'll talk more schedule stuff tomorrow, as you know. But you and I both saw the same tweet. And then I just saw, again, in my timeline just a second ago.
For sure.
And we've had this person on the show, so I'm not trying to bury them in this. But this notion is what's crazy. Frank Schwab, who writes over for Yahoo, wrote, 128 divisional games will be played in the NFL this season. Mm-hmm. 127 of them will be in home stadiums.
Okay.
The only team that avoids a true road divisional game, the Chiefs, against what might be the biggest threat in the AFC West. This is the final sentence. Uh-huh. It's a pretty clear edge.
Is this going to be a thing from national media all year? First of all, a couple things.
It's the first game of the season, so there's 17 other weeks.
First game. The Chiefs did not request to play in Brazil. The Chargers said we're good. Also, the Chiefs, I believe, are undefeated at SoFi Stadium playing the Chargers. The Chiefs fans take over SoFi Stadium when they play there. If anything, this is a tougher matchup for the Chiefs by playing in a neutral site than playing at SoFi. I would argue this is tougher. Going to Brazil, new country. Fan base, who knows what representation you're going to have there, because in Brazil, you now actually have to have a traveler's visa or whatever to go there as of like last month. So who knows how the turnout's going to be. The field sucked last year in Sao Paulo. That's way tougher matchup and a lot of other factors versus just going to SoFi. So,
that's created out of thin air. Like, I'm not saying, like, and by the way, divisional games have been on the road before. So you're making it seem like every year it's like this and no team has ever played a international division game. They have happened. I'm not saying they happen often, but they have happened. They didn't do the Chiefs a favor. And also, stop pretending like the Chargers are the Chiefs' biggest competition. They've finished in second place less than the Broncos in this division over the last 4 years, probably, right? I mean, haven't the Broncos been second place in this division a couple of times over the last 5 years? They got as many second place finishes as the Chargers. We have made up the Chargers into being this, like they are the Ravens, like they are the Bills, Bengals. It's just not factually correct.
I think what it is for a lot of people still is Justin Herbert still is the second best quarterback in the division.
Yes.
And that's a big part of it. But if that, I'll be curious, is that going to be the theme for people heading on? Oh, the Chiefs didn't actually have to play a bunch of road games in the division. Well, I truly think this is a tougher game because it's week one in Brazil than if it was week one in SoFi. I really do.
I agree too. I think it'd be easier. That's what's so funny. I think it'd be easier the other way around.
JT, thanks for filling in today. He's producing our show tomorrow as well. We'll be talking full schedule. I'm sure people will have some more complaints with it and everything. We'll find out the exact number of primetime games. We'll find out for sure if the bye week is actually in week 8. And we'll see if Vegas Chiefs is happening at a good time for us personally. Talk to you guys tomorrow.